Welcome to Gregarious Mammal. This is your friendly host, Kate, with you today. And I'd like to share something a little bit special. We recently went to Vilnius, Lithuania, with the innovation house Telesoftis. And I met with a rather interesting company called Deepa. And they basically are a sonar fish finder company using IoT and sonar technology to find fish for commercial, hobbyist, and competitive fisher people. Is there a term there? I'm just going to use fisher people for sake of clarity. And I'd like to share the interview I did with their chief innovation officer, Donatas Malinauskas. And apologies there, Donatas. I've most likely pronounced your name a little bit wrong, being Australian rather than Lithuanian. And I apologise, this content is not the best audio quality in that we were sitting in a cafe to do the interview, but we hope that the, you know, the quality of the conversation offsets that.
Our company started 6 years ago, 2012.
Yeah.
And we had just an idea, and we saw the opportunity to give totally new tool for anglers to understand what is going on in the water. Basically, what we did, we gave that tool for those anglers who were not able to use sonars before, because this technology was available only for those who had a boat or other vehicle, and you needed something to have to go to the lake. But a lot of anglers, actually, they go to the bank and they fish from the shore, and they were not able to use any technology to see underwater. So what we did, we made sonars small, we made them castable, so you can attach it to a fishing line, cast it into the water, and then it starts scanning underwater using sonar, ultrasound, and send data into your mobile phone. So basically we combined several already existing technologies in a totally new device, and we enabled our customers to find best fishing spots using technology. So this is the story of the product itself.
Was one of you a fisher person, an angler, or
we had two of them?
Yeah.
So then we sent Rolandes. They are anglers and they like fishing. So they had an idea and they saw this opportunity.
What's the technology like in that space? I mean, I've always been under the impression that this is probably not true, that the people who go fishing like to kind of maybe get away from technology, or like to think that they know best, you know, their techniques of sticking their finger in the water or whatever are the, you know, the best way. They don't need anyone else telling them what the, is what the best way is.
You know, you would like, you would find a lot of different people.
Yeah.
Obvious. So some of them are just looking for opportunity to go away from technology. Some are very concentrated to the result.
Yeah.
Some are just spending a good time in let's say, nature.
Yep.
But anyway, angling is about spending time in nature and catching fish. So it has a lot of different aspects.
Okay.
And when you try to find a good fishing spot, you need to emphasize a lot of things, like weather, pressure, type of fish, equipment you have, and so on. So what we did, we gave another tool to understand what is happening to them. And that doesn't mean cheating or gaining maybe unfair advantage.
Yeah.
Because even if you know that fish is there, that doesn't mean that
doesn't
you can
catch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You still need to find a proper lure. You still need to understand if it's proper time, because maybe the fish is not feeding at the moment. And you will not do anything even knowing that it is there. But even that is just small part.
Is it mostly amateurs, or is it also I don't know, I guess professional fishing has other tools, but so it's mostly amateurs and people in their spare time, I guess.
Yeah, if we are talking about anglers, it's very difficult to talk about professional, not professional. Okay. Of course, there are fisheries and so on when you are catching like with nets and so on, so we're not talking about this area.
The commercial area.
Yeah.
We're both from Australia, and I also spent some time in New Zealand with a fisher. Angler to me doesn't sound right. I'm going to keep saying fisher person. I don't know. Anyway,
it's different.
I don't know. Anyway. And they have lots of they have lots of laws about what fish you can keep, and if they're too small, you have to put them back. So does the device help with anything like that, like conforming with local laws about showing you, well, there's lots of fish here, but you can't actually catch any of them?
We can't tell exactly what kind of fish, but you can have an impression how big it is. Okay. So if you are going for large fish or small or medium, you can distinguish, and of course catch that particular in that particular place, maybe move to the next place and so on. But there are some regulations in some very small parts of countries who are not allowing to use sonars at all.
Okay.
But it's a very uncommon thing, and usually that's just another tool.
Okay.
So what's the sonar actually detecting? Like you mentioned, the size of the fish, is it the quality of the water, is it the depth, like what kinds of things are we measuring?
So the things which sonar is measuring is quite a limited thing.
Mm.
Usually what you get the depth.
Mm.
You get reflections, ultrasound reflections from the object.
Mm-hmm.
And then already is all the imagination and your mastery. What are you going to do with all those this data? So we have been working really hard to create proper algorithms to understand what is going on then in the water and give this information to our anglers. And when it comes to the anglers and previous question about the professional, non-professional and so on, so even if the people are not catching for the food, the fish I mean, there are still professional anglers who are sporty.
Yeah.
Because angling basically is sport.
Yeah.
And that's especially the case in the U.S.
Yeah,
when there are a lot of people who are living from fishing but not bringing the fish to the pot.
Yeah.
And to the kitchen.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of different kind of events where people go. We have
competitive events. Yeah.
That's their work basically. Mm. So they are also using our tools and other sonars, and this is one thing. And for them, it's more important, and more professional anglers, it's more important to find proper place. So they are looking for some specific features, like holes, like some vegetation and so on. And people who are spending less time on the water, they need the information which is more, let's say, prepared for them. So they need to find proper spots without analyzing or spending a lot of time checking the water.
Yeah.
And so on. So we are trying to fit both groups, and we are working hard with those little things which we can measure and converting them to proper information.
And what was the testing process like when you were developing the product?
Yeah, it's very nice actually.
Yeah.
And we are posting very often into Facebook and
I'm working really at working.
Yeah, we are working really hard, and you see the picture of the lake sitting somewhere on the shore. And of course we have some equipment, we have computer set and so on, but still it's good weather usually, but sometimes it's raining and so on.
Yeah, that's right.
But that still works.
Yeah, exactly.
And when we have been working on the first version version of Deeper. We have counted that we have spent more than 300 hours testing on field.
Yeah.
So this is not included the working time in the lab and so on, modeling, working with computers. But when you go actually to the field, you are putting sonar into the lake, into the water, recording data, analyzing data, updating your software, updating algorithms, and so on. So that gives a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you're working with real world with real stuff and also data and so on.
Yeah. And is there any plans to expand it into including sensors or anything like that to look at the, you know, some of the other
water quality,
conservation issues or, you know, breeding issues of fish or anything like that?
Yeah, so of course, we are going to improve sonar itself. There are a lot of ways how we can give even more information to our customers and provide even better quality information. But also, we are working with data which is coming to our systems. Because
what's the latency like on the data?
Sorry?
What's the latency like on
latency?
The data?
Yeah. For people who are standing on the shore, so it's almost real time. We are talking about milliseconds.
Wow.
So, and it's very important in some cases. For example, if we have ice fishing, we don't have anything like that in Australia, I believe. But it's very popular in Canada, and parts of the US, and parts of Europe, of course, Northern.
And maybe.
And in this case, fish is very lazy. It's cold, they are slow, they are not feeding very often, and the challenge is to find the fish and position the lure exactly where the fish is. So you need real time and see if your lure is exactly where is the fish. So your question is actually really good, because in that case latency is very important.
Does it connect with Bluetooth?
With Wi-Fi.
So point to point.
Yes.
So you get more range, because that was my question. Bluetooth is not very...
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, what? How hard is it to get connectivity if you're out?
No, you know, it's connecting
only phone.
On the phone. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I'd be interested.
I was just picturing it on the ice.
How this looks. So, firstly, the device. How large is it? And do you keep it on your rod whilst you're fishing, or do you have to take it off again? So, where does it fit?
Yeah, I'm just thinking that my dad and I didn't bring any of our products. I don't know why.
That's right.
But I'm guessing it's quite small.
Yeah, it's very small. It's we have now three products. Sonars, and two of them look from externally exactly the same. So they are small balls, six and a half centimeter diameter, and it's a little bit less than 100 grams.
Because anglers often have like little weights on the end of the line anyway, don't they? I think.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I feel like I've seen like above the hook. They sometimes have those
bobbers, you mean?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing it kind of is the same size as one of those. I don't know.
No, it's a little bit larger one.
Okay.
Yeah. And you attach it to the end of the line, not in the middle like a bobber. And you just cast it. Initially, you will go to some particular place and you scan the area and see what's happening there on the screen. In some cases, you can make bathymetry maps. So that's a thing with map augmented with depths. And you can understand where are shallows, where are holes, and so on. And from that information, then you already start fishing. You put aside sonar and you start doing the main work.
Can you show us what the app looks like?
Yeah, sure. I can show the app how it looks like. We have recorded during those 300 hours and other times. Late.
I know you because I recently went on a glass bottom boat and saw what the ocean floor looks like. And you're right, it's very.
Maybe you can show the simulation, yeah?
Yeah, so this is sonar view, and what is happening there, you can see the bottom. This is a school of fish,
okay.
And when sonar is moving, scanning what is underwater, and when you see, like, it's not an actual image because we're working with sound, with ultrasound, and we need to visualize this for people. This is some vegetation underwater. Some weeds are growing in this place, and so on. And this is the view which you see when you cast a real in device. Maybe I can show you. You see two things. One is the map with the depths, so we can understand exactly what is going on there, and different colors are representing different depths. And also what was going on there in particular place with the bottom, fish and so on.
What kind of like, is there people who use the app, like, it looks quite technical. How hard is it to make them, you know, understand it? Like, is there a training kind of process, or, you know?
Yeah, so we have a lot of videos.
Yeah.
Some of them are made by ourselves.
Yeah.
And of course, how to use sonar in particular cases. But also there are a lot of content created by our customers already. Because they go and actually it would be almost impossible to make a video about every angle and style.
Yeah.
Because all over the world there are a lot of different styles. And that was also something very new for us, because in Lithuania there are a lot of already fishing styles used. Because in some other countries only one type of fish, for example, is popular, one way of fishing, or maybe two.
Yeah.
In Lithuania we have maybe 10 or 15, which are very regular thing, that you go to the lake and you see someone is using one technique and another person totally different one. One is trying to catch one fish and another different fish. In other countries, it's not so. But if you take all countries and different regions, you will find very different cases how people are angry and how they are fishing and how they try to catch a fish.
Yep.
So what is happening? People buying our products, we find the best way how to use it in some particular case, and we prepare for themselves, vlogging, making just videos, and we are sharing your experience.
Yeah, I'm imagining the angling community is very, it's probably up there with like the gaming community and the amount they share content and write books and blog posts. So it's probably good in that way to get a product discussed.
Yeah, I mean, that's a question. How technical is your audience? I mean, like Chris alluded to earlier, you do have this romantic image of people just sitting around fishing, you know, and getting away from technology. Like,
For example, we have one person.
I think it's actually quite technical, yeah.
And sometimes people even willingly spend time to learn how to use mobile phones and even purchasing mobile phones for that.
Yeah.
We have one customer in Lithuania. He's, I think, 80 years old.
Yeah.
He was coming to our office several times. Like, he was already using sonar. He says, guys, you know, I got an update and I don't know how to use the product now. Maybe you can explain us how to use it in ice fishing. Okay, we were explaining. He was coming back, he was fishing. Then he returns after half a year again with some questions, bringing some gifts to our
just bring you fish.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. He before had just simple mobile phone.
Yeah.
A hands phone or just regular phone.
Exactly.
He bought an Android phone deeper, and he's spending a lot of time and enjoying this.
That's really cool.
That's cool.
That's a great way to introduce someone to technology.
I noticed when you were looking through the settings there, like Pro Plus. So I just wondered, what's the business model? Is it buy the device plus some kind of subscription plan? Or,
at the moment, we don't have any subscription.
Okay.
And basically,
so that's the model. The private.
Yeah, private. Exactly. That's a model. We have different models, and two of them are for more advanced handlers, and one for those who spend less time. So it's very simple. You just cast it, it starts sending, and you see the depth and if there is any fish. So it's very, very simple. But also, if you purchase any of our product, you get part of service. One is, of course, a breeding, upgrading app. And in case of our very first product, initially it was very simple. It was also showing only depth and fish. But later we introduced a lot of updates. In 2 years, a period of 2 years, we got totally different product because we made a lot of firmware updates, app updates, and so on. So it was very amazing to hear also from our customers that, wow, I want a simple thing, and it became even more advanced during the period when I have been using it.
Yeah.
And we are continuing this path.
Yeah.
We are adding new features, providing service, storing data, and so on. So I believe this is really good way.
I don't know. The obvious question that everyone wants to ask at the moment when you talk about storing data is GDPR and things like that. I guess
you would know because a lot of people in Europe they don't know what that means.
No. I guess where people go fishing is not.
I don't think it's
personal.
I'm not sure it's personal data so much.
Unless it's probably more about I found a perfect place to fish. I don't want anyone else to know about it.
I was wondering about that. Yeah. I mean, does the data get shared amongst users at all? Like, can they look at other people's metrics and that kind of stuff?
They can share what they report. Actually, only
like competitive sort of,
No, we don't have at the moment. Anything like that, like competition, etc. But we have cases when people are sharing their memory maps. Like we are scanning part of the lake, send to some friend and say, look, I found a good place or a bad place, I don't know. And we are sharing this information. At the moment, all information which is collected is accessible only for those people who collect this information.
Yep.
So if you record some information, analyze the lake, whatever, it will only be seen by you, except if you will share.
Apart from the older gentleman you mentioned, are there any other sort of surprising stories that have come? Like, I don't know how many of these places where people are fishing are even mapped anyway, like by governments or by nature authorities. Like, have you ended up sort of surfacing information about a body of water that people didn't know about before?
Yeah, we have some stories, interesting cases when people are not about mapping data and using data for some government needs, etc. But we have funny stories like someone was trying to find a good fishing spot in Netherlands. Yes. And they saw something very strange on the bottom. They couldn't understand what's that. They got scuba drivers there, divers there. And they found a Ford car.
Really?
Ford car. Car.
Oh, a car.
Yeah.
That could be potentially something quite bad.
That sounds a bit sinister.
No one was inside. It was only the car. This is a good part of the story. And they sent us pictures later when they got already rescue services. Lifting car from the water, standing beside it, and
look
so
what
on.
We caught.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, what kind of response have you had from the angling community in general? Like, is it been something that's been word of mouth kind of passed on, or is it something that you've marketed directly to people? How have you attracted and reached the community?
Initially, when we introduced the product, the response, I would say most of the questions and feedback was, this is nonsense. It can't work. I don't believe it can work.
Really?
Maybe it's a hoax and it doesn't work. And you explain how it works and so on. So people couldn't believe it could actually work. Like you can take your mobile phone, cast some really small device into water and you will get information. Because before it was only available for boats. So now we are really big with the screens and so on. So this was very initial reaction. Some people said that maybe this is kind of cheating because you gain
an advantage.
But basically that said people who are not angling.
Yeah.
Those who are angling and who are fishing, we said, okay, I will get more information, but still I will need a lot of knowledge to understand how to catch that fish.
Yeah.
So I would say that in general, when people already believe that this technology could work after testing and so on, our response was really good and very positive.
What's next? I mean, you know, for the product and for the company, you know, what's your next goal?
Okay, so now we are working really hard, of course, with the product itself. So we'll be coming new products some particular anglers and solving their problems and giving the best product for them. So this is clear path. But also we are working really hard with the data and improving information which we are providing to our anglers.
Yeah.
So this is the main, I would say, path where we are going. I can't talk a lot of about this, but what will be in the future?
It's
a little bit too early. But I can tell several things which we made already this year. In the beginning of this year, we introduced a new service which is storing all data from mobile phone on our servers. Because before it was so, you go to the lake, you scan, and information is available only on your mobile phone. If you lose it, if you drop it into water, you lose your information. Unless you have backed it up in Google Drive or somewhere else. But basically, it was data on your mobile phone. What we did, all information, of course, if you agree, is coming to our servers. And you can access it basically with your login from any device. And also we introduced the web interface to access information. Why is that important? Basically, people have a very small device and it's very useful. It's very good when you are on the lake. But what people do? We go to the lake and later, when we have some time, we are planning next trip. We are looking into their recorded data and we are trying to plan where I will go, what I will do there, maybe I should go there, and so on. So we got totally new tool for planning and understanding and analyzing data. So this is the path where we are going to work, and we see a lot of opportunities to do something totally new using the data which we access.
So you mentioned already that you have clients in a lot of places, and probably, actually, as is always, North America, and I'm guessing Canada as well, is probably big users, outdoorsy people. So is it quite common for Lithuanian businesses to be looking overseas most of the time? And I've done interviews with lots of founders in small countries around the world, and this is often one of the things I find that makes founders in small countries more motivated, is because you have to look overseas from day zero. And is this, do you think, a common thing in Lithuania too? Like, do many, like, especially in this field, like tech kind of businesses here, ever try to just focus locally, or do they always looking overseas from day one?
You are totally right, and I think this is something common with small countries, that you can't be only local. And from the very beginning, you must already plan how you will expand to other countries, to other regions.
Yeah.
And Lithuania is also doing the same. we are a really small country with quite a small market.
Yeah.
And what we have to do, we have to go somewhere else to get clients and so on.
Yeah.
And Lithuania is very, it has very open economy.
Yeah.
We are, if we are talking about startups, this is definitely the truth.
Yeah.
But also regular companies which are providing some manufacturing service, etc.
Yeah.
They're doing exactly the same.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is there anything you would say that, let's focus specifically on kind of the tech-related industries, otherwise it's a very broad question, but is there anything in particular that Lithuanians are good at? And we've spoken to quite a few people making connected devices, but that just could be the people we've interviewed. So, you know, as far as you're aware, is there anything in particular that Lithuanians are very good at?
So definitely Lithuanians are, if we're talking about technology, in particular, so in general with software, we have a lot of companies in broad sense working with software, product development, providing only software development services and so on, and also working with hardware. So I believe that Lithuanians are really good at both those sites and also interconnecting them.
And one final question in that space would be, what is good about running a tech business here, and what if the government, the banks, venture capital, whatever, whoever it may be, could do something to make it easier? What would that be?
You know, it's a difficult question because there are a lot of things which are done into correct direction in Lithuania, but also there are a lot of things which can be improved, as always.
Your biggest frustration, your biggest non-frustration, I can't think of what the right word there is, but you know.
I would say that the main area where we can still improve is education.
Okay. Yeah, right.
And,
we went to Kaunas University yesterday.
Yeah.
What happened, this was the case several years ago, and a lot of pupils were choosing more humanitarian direction and less technical direction. This is changing, and not only government is doing working into that direction, but also, and even maybe even more businesses working with it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of private initiations, private people and companies are working with this. And for example, last year there was like rising money to buy very small embedded computers for children to start planning coding to show for them this is very interesting and so on.
Yeah.
So this was a huge success.
I know it can be very practical things. Like when I interviewed people in Estonia, often they said the biggest frustration they had was after Estonian Air went bankrupt. Getting anywhere is hard. Like to go to San Francisco or something,
it's an effort.
Complicated. And that's it's probably not too different here because it's a small country. I mean, we live in Berlin. Berlin is the capital of Europe, but because of our crap airports, it's the same problem. Like getting to America, you always have to go to Amsterdam or Frankfurt or something first. So it's the same problem. We have the same problem.
And where did you make your hardware? Did you make it locally or in Shenzhen?
We are producing our products in Lithuania. Of course, some parts like some walls or ceiling is coming from China. But most added value part is manufactured in Lithuania. So electronic assembling, final assembling, storing, shipping, warehouses here in Lithuania. And we are also really good at this. We can access all markets around the world very efficiently.
Yeah.
We have infrastructure to build smart devices, electronics, software. So this is perfect place to be.
And that was our interview with the Chief Innovation Officer of DEEPA, Donatas Malinauskas. And if you've enjoyed today's show, we'd love you to get in touch with us. You can contact us via gregariousmammal.com/podcast. You can follow myself on Twitter, Kate_Lawrence. That's Kate with a C, Lawrence with a W. If you have a look on our website, you can, of course, see previous episodes. You can donate or buy some merch. And you can also join in and contribute to the show in a variety of ways. Thanks for listening.